It's 520 here on Galesburg's Evening News. I'm Terry Cavanaugh. 74 our current temperature right now. We're going to talk about Thrivent Builds, a partnership with Habitat for Humanity, and visit with Jennifer Sperry, who works with Thrivent Financial and spent some time this spring in Nicaragua helping to build a Habitat home. So we're going to talk about that experience tonight with Jennifer as we welcome her back to the studios. You've been here for different instances, but this is something new, so good evening.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Well, I'll just let you set the scene, Jennifer, and tell us, give us a little bit of background about how the trip occurred. I mean, Thrivent Builds is doing this a lot, but just kind of how you came to connect with the project this spring.
Okay, so Thrivent Builds is a partnership with Habitat for Humanity that started back in 2005, and we offer trips all over the United States as well as internationally, and Thrivent helps pay a portion of our members' costs to go on these trips. We encourage our members to give back and to live generously. And ever since I started working for Thrivent just over 3 years ago, I've always wanted, well, and even before that, honestly, because I've been a Thrivent member for a long time, so I knew about these. It's just kind of been on my bucket list. I've always wanted to go on an international mission trip, and this gave me the opportunity to do so. So my kids were getting old enough and to the point where, you know, I could go on a trip like this. Mm-hmm. And so when I started with Thrivent 3 years ago, I found out that they had an ambassador trip program, which is where Thrivent actually selects a representative from every region of the country and sends them on the trip to expose them to the program, to help them, you know, understand the Thrivent Builds, and to hopefully encourage them to want to go back and lead trips in the future and encourage our members to go. And so the very first year I'd applied and I didn't get chosen. Second year, I didn't actually even apply. Life was kind of crazy and busy, and I didn't get my application in. And so this year, I applied again, and I thought there's probably no way I'm going to be chosen. And lo and behold, I actually was selected, and so I was super excited. I found out in December that I was chosen to go. And so myself and 29 other representatives from across the country went and spent a week in Nicaragua helping build three homes.
Wow. And did you get them all accomplished in the week you were there?
We did.
Now, are all the ambassadors and the people that you went with, I mean, are they builders, or how do they coordinate getting a house raised?
No, so this trip was Thrivent reps. So we're financial representatives. Most of us wear, you know, a suit mm-hmm. or heels to work every day and sit in an office. So by no means were we skilled with labor skills mm-hmm. or, you know,
contractors, used, right?
Exactly. We weren't contractors, weren't used to a lot of hard physical labor, but you don't have to be. And that's the nice part about this program is they teach you everything that you need. All you need is that willing heart, wanting to serve. And, you know, as long as you're physically mobile and everything, that's really all that you need to go on the trip. So we had reps there as young as their mid-20s, and we had a couple that, I guess I didn't ask their ages, but I'm guessing at least mid-60s, mm-hmm. if not maybe a little bit older. So we had a wide range. There were six women on the trip out of the 29. The rest were men. And when we got there, we divided up into three teams. And a typical site, a home site, is 8 to 12 people on a site to help build the home. And so we did three teams. And, you know, like I said, they teach you what you need to do. You don't have a lot of equipment. You don't have a lot of power tools or anything. So we mixed concrete by hand. We, you know, mixed mortar by hand. Got to help bend rebar to be the reinforcements mm-hmm. that were put in the concrete block walls because of all the volcanoes and earthquakes that they have in Nicaragua. So
Were you building for a specific size or family?
Yes.
What type of homes were you making?
So in Nicaragua particularly, they have different levels, and the homes that we were building were for the poorest of the poor. They actually made less than the equivalent of $200 a month for their entire family income. And so it's, you know, the Habitat program is very similar to how it is here in the United States. It's a hand up, not a hand out. And so they do have to do sweat equity on their own homes. And for some of the homes, for people that made a little bit more than that, $800 and below, down to that 200 threshold, they actually do pay a portion of the home cost. The three homes we worked on this particular week, those homeowners did not pay for the homes, but they did do sweat equity not only on their own home, but also required to do sweat equity on other homes being built in their neighborhood.
And what would you say is maybe the square footage or the size of these homes? Are they they're rather small?
They are rather small. It's 18 square meters, which is the equivalent of about 150 square feet, the size of most people's dining rooms. Mm-hmm. And so it's not very large, but the homes that we were replacing for them are literally like not even as nice as our garden sheds here in the United States. They're very small. They often have just a rusting metal roof and rotting wood boards for walls, sometimes even cardboard or plastic hung up to try and help keep the weather out. They're dirt floors. They have no indoor plumbing whatsoever. And so, you know, that was the reason why we're helping replace them. Nicaragua happens to be the second poorest country in Latin America, right behind Haiti, and over 70% of their population is living in inadequate housing. And when we first got to Nicaragua, we had our briefing with Habitat that kind of gave us some of the statistics, explained what we were going to be doing that week. The part that hit home to me the most, and I don't know if this is because I have children or if it's because I spent so many years teaching in the community, but one in four children in Nicaragua die before the age of five, mainly due to preventable diseases due to the housing conditions. Some of that is from parasites found in the dirt floors. Some of it is from contamination of soil and water, because without indoor plumbing, they often have to use latrines. I mean, one of the women that we met, she actually lost one of her children who fell into a latrine and died. And so, you know, as a mother with, I had three girls within 5 years, could you imagine having to take your children to the bathroom every single time they had to go with every child and how hard that would be to really get anything else accomplished? But that's what they have to do. And so with every Habitat house that's built there, they're also building what's called an eco-toilet. And it's like an outhouse. It sits out behind their home, but it has a toilet, it has a shower stall, and a sink area. And it can be flushed with a bucket of water. And underneath it is a filtration system that has volcanic rock in it. So as the waste, you know, as the water goes through the waste, it goes through this volcanic rock and is cleansed. And when it enters the groundwater, it's actually safe at that point. And these eco toilets only have to be maintained every 2 years. So it keeps the environment much safer, much healthier than the latrines do, and makes a huge difference for these families. So just being able to give them a home that has doors and windows, security, that it's concrete block, it's mm-hmm. safe during the earthquakes, and it has a concrete floor so that they're not sleeping, you know, in that environment. That makes a huge difference for these families.
Did you see a lot of these homes while you were there, and in addition to what you were already building?
Yes, yes. So we actually, we worked Monday through Friday on the actual job site pretty much about 7:30 in the morning till about 4 in the afternoon, with about an hour, hour and a half for a lunch break, because we would bus back to our hotel to eat lunch and then back to the work site. But on Wednesday afternoon, we actually were able to take the day off and go and tour some of the other homes that have been built. And so they have three different levels of homes. We were able to see those. So we saw ones that were already built and completely finished that we were building. And we also saw some of the larger homes that were being built for other families that could actually help afford to pay for the homes. We also got to see they've had four different versions of their eco toilet that's kind of evolved over time as they've improved that system. We got to see a couple different stages of that. And then we also toured a local water project that was helped funded in part by the Coca-Cola company and the government and a few other entities in the community that actually has piped water to about 200 families in that community.
Did they tell you who developed that eco toilet?
You know, no, I'm not sure where that got developed, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty amazing what can be done. And all the technology, and it's just a matter of sharing that with people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had so many people ask me, well, you know, how did you know how to build these houses? I didn't know how to build them, but Habitat does, and they have everything prepped and ready for you. And every week, you know, they have a different group come in and they teach them how to build this house. And in a week, you literally build that house and leave it for a family.
Mm-hmm.
That family works with you. They work right alongside you. They help you build the home. They help build their neighbors' homes, because they're doing several homes, several mm-hmm. hundred homes in this community that we were in. So they learn to help each other. And then Habitat had the foresight to design the home so that they can be expanded on in the future very easily. And so the family learns how to build it, and so when they go to make that expansion, they're able to build their own expansion. And so it really is teaching people to be able to rely on themselves and to rely on the members in their community to improve not only their own home but others as well.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Jennifer Sperry from Thrivent Financial, who was in Nicaragua this spring with Thrivent Builds, a partnership with Habitat for Humanity. We'll talk a little bit more about her trip and experience, but we're going to take a look at news and weather details. That's coming up next. Don't go away. It's 5:37 here on Galesburg's Evening News. We're visiting with Jennifer Sperry of Thrivent Financial. She spent some time this spring with Thrivent Builds and building habitat homes in Nicaragua, three of them, as a matter of fact, were part of the project she was involved in. I was going to ask you on the other side of things, you know, you mentioned a nice hotel. You were with 29 others. Did you travel at all or...
We did.
You know, have the food that they have or, you know...
Yeah, so a lot of people have asked about food or what else we got to do or where we stayed. So basically, I was gone for 9 days. One day was travel and flying down. Then we arrived into Managua, which is our capital city, and we had a hotel there that we stayed in overnight, had brunch the next morning, had our orientation with Habitat there where they shared a little slideshow, kind of told us about what we were going to be doing and why we were there and helping in Nicaragua. And then we got to do a little tour of the capital city, and then we took our bus ride. The city that we were working in for the week was about an hour and a half outside of Managua in an area called Massachapua, and the community itself was called San Cayetano. And so we had a hotel there, and you know, I had no idea what the hotel was going to look like or what it was going to be like. And as we arrive, our hotel actually sat right on the ocean. It was drop dead gorgeous. I could lay in bed at night and look through the glass doors over the balcony and see the ocean in the distance. And it was just, it was amazing. The accommodations were wonderful. So we had a nice place to stay, and the rest of Sunday was just kind of free time for us as we arrived. So several of us went to the beach. We were getting to know each other because I didn't know a single other rep because we were from all areas across the country. And so I didn't know anybody on the trip. So we were all making friends, getting to know each other and getting excited. And then Monday morning, we started with breakfast. We Habitat took care of all of our food there. We ate as a group pretty much every time. Mm-hmm. We did go to a local restaurant one night during the week. We did have a lot of things like rice and beans, a lot of seafood, fish, that type of thing. But we had chicken, we had lettuce salad, we had normal food. There was always plenty of it. I know we had bacon and sausage, pancakes for breakfast, you know, things like that, eggs. But there were things like we had, you know, papaya, which is something that you don't, you know, get served here all the time, plantains. So we did have some of that local food. We were always given either bottled water or filtered water. So it's not that the water there is necessarily dirty. It's just that it has different chemicals than what we use here in the U.S. And so when your digestive tract's not used to that, it can cause some issues. So we always made sure that we had that. And that was just all provided for us. So the food was wonderful.
Did you have to provide for the trip, Jennifer, or did part come from Thrivent Financial?
So again, in this particular ambassador trip, Thrivent did pay for the entire trip for all of us to go. And, you know, like I said, it's one trip that they do a year. Mm-hmm. On our normal Thrivent Builds trips where our members and people from the community go with us, that Thrivent pays a portion of every Thrivent member's cost, somewhere in the neighborhood of $300 to $500 for every single person that goes on a Thrivent Builds trip. And so not only did Thrivent pay for all 29 of us to go on this trip, but for every 8 volunteers that goes on a Thrivent Builds trip, Thrivent also provides $8,000 to help build the home that we're building. So out of our 29 group, we also took another $24,000 to actually fund the homes that we were building for the week.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. And it's happening, the ambassador trip is happening once a year, but other builds are going on with Thrivent members, you're saying, during the course of a year?
Yes. So, you know, there's trips happening all over the world. Yeah. Nicaragua is one of our premier sites. It has some of the best ratings as far as safety and just that they have trips, you know, every single week. So we actually got to tour the Habitat office in Nicaragua, in their capital, Managua, and could see the board and all the upcoming trips. And out of the next couple months, there were 5 more Thrivent Builds trips coming in. There were other other groups outside of Thrivent that also had trips, but they had them year-round, at least one group of 8 to 12 coming in every week, if not multiples like our week.
Yeah, so it's a continuous build in the territory that you were in.
Correct, yes.
Wow. And they, you mentioned they're all over the world, so plenty of opportunity for Thrivent members, if you will, to, if they want to pursue something like this.
So another thing that Thrivent does is, you know, if we meet certain levels in our businesses, we have the opportunity to go on trips instead of doing like a bonus type trip. Mm-hmm. You can actually turn around and do a Thrivent Builds trip instead. And there were a couple of the people, a couple of the reps that were on the trip that are actually going on others. I know one of them was going to Vietnam. One was going to Africa. Another one had just been in Portugal. There's another rep from the Quad City area and one from Kewaunee area that are jointly leading a trip this summer. It's the end of July and the beginning of August, and they're going to El Salvador. Mm-hmm. And this is their fourth or fifth trip that they've led over the last several years to El Salvador. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's places in Hawaii. There's places here locally. It's just anywhere that you want to go, there's a Thrivent Builds trip that you'd be able to go on.
Yeah. Did anything surprise you about the trip? Were you, was it what you expected? And if not, how so?
Well, you know, there were a few things that surprised me. I've done a lot of youth group type events, a lot of volunteer events, that type of thing. This particular trip, because you're working, the conditions that you're working in, the fact that you're there for a full week, you know, you live, you eat, you work alongside the people that you're with. I knew that you would form strong bonds, but it's just, you just can't describe how strong of a bond. The people that I was on that trip with, while I may never see them again, if I ran into them, it would be like an instantaneous connection. It's just that strong. So that was a nice.
That was a plus?
Yes, a nice plus of the trip. It just really, really makes you appreciative of that. I was a little surprised. You know, I knew it was going to be some physical labor. It is. And, you know, I hadn't done some physical labor for a while, so I was like, okay, all right. But it's nice because you have all those other people and everybody's working together, mm-hmm. and you can take breaks as frequently as you need to, and they have scheduled breaks, and they provide food and drinks for you and shade. And so, you know, no one was being pushed to do anything. But I will say this about the team. You know, it was a 29 Thrivent representatives and probably 29 type A personality people. We actually were so far ahead of schedule during the week, farther than that they've ever had a group, that we actually got to help with three other homes while we were there. And that, to me, is where the whole project hit home, because I was one that volunteered to go to another home site. And so when you first arrive on Monday, part of the foundation is already done for you. And you're kind of like, oh, how did it get here? You know, but you're like, okay, so we're going to build the walls and we're going to pour the floor. And then the roof and the door and windows all happen after you leave. That part is done by local contractors. So you don't see the home 100% finished, but you do, you know, see it basically grow from the ground up. So I knew there were things happening outside, and I knew that the families that we, you know, were building for worked alongside us, and then there were other members from the community. But with a language barrier, it's, you know, it is sometimes hard to communicate a lot with them, although we did have at least one, if not two people on every home site that were bilingual, and I have a little Spanish myself from 6 years between high school and college, so I could have communicate roughly. But you don't always, you know, you wonder, okay, are they habitat workers? Are they people from the community? And as the week goes on, you kind of learn that. But on Wednesday, when I went to help with the other house, it was a house. So every homeowner is responsible for digging their own foundation and getting it to that first level. That's, you know, Habitat comes in and helps them with the knowledge, but they do the physical labor and get it to that point. So the other family that was going to get the home the next week were told that we were so far ahead of schedule that they might have the opportunity to have us come and help, but they had to have their foundation dug. So the husband and the wife, who were probably, I'm guessing, in their early 30s, they had two boys, I'd say, at elementary school age, they dug their foundation by hand the day before in 12 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
You can't even imagine, even if you're only talking about the small footage that you're talking about.
When I'm talking about the foundation, it was probably roughly 2.5 feet wide mm-hmm. by about 3.5 to 4 feet deep.
Yeah.
By at least, you know, 10 by 15.
Yeah, like a bedroom.
Yes. And so they dug that whole foundation the day before just so that we could be there to help mm-hmm. bring and haul in the rock and tamp it and pack it down so that they had that solid layer to be able to build upon. And, you know, to see that hole and realize that they dug it by hand, I can't imagine doing that and doing it for 12 solid hours. There's no way I could have lasted through that. They did have a couple people from Habitat and a couple community helpers come in the afternoon that helped them finish it. Mm-hmm. But really, it was the two of them. And then the gentleman that owned the home, Ramon, I believe was his name, he helped us haul the rock and with a wheelbarrow, and he ran circles around the rest of us that next day. Yeah. It was just amazing. And he just kept going, and they were so appreciative to have our help. And, you know, when you're tamping and, you know, hauling rock, that was the most hard labor. It was. And that was the hardest, most physical part of the whole week. And we only did it for half a day, and we did finish it for them. We got that part done. Like I said, they helped us with it. But that was our Wednesday. So we had that half day. And honestly, by the time we left for lunch, I went, if we had to come back and work the rest of the day, I don't know that I could have done it. Mm-hmm. And so you really got to see how they put their own sweat and tears into that project. And then the next day, I actually went back on our break to visit them and see what happened next. And that's the part where I actually got to see them starting to lay that first layer of foundation with the rebar in it. And there's a continuous pour that has to happen. And when you're mixing concrete by hand, everything has to be timed, you know, very quickly. Yeah. So I got to see all of that and see that stages and see the other members in the community coming in and helping them do that. And that's where you really get that whole sense of community and how this project is being built.
Yeah, we're going to run out of time, unfortunately. But I take it from your experience, you'd go again. Maybe you'd send your daughter Emily, too, if she wants to go.
I definitely would. Kids, anyone over the age of 16 is eligible to go. They do have to have a parent with them up through 18. Mm-hmm. And I have already gone through my interview and have put in my application. I'm going to be attending leader training this fall. And once I get done with leader training, then I will be eligible to lead my own trip. And I'm looking to go back to Nicaragua probably sometime next year.
Incredible. Just incredible. So you didn't hate it, did you?
I did not hate it. I would go back in a heartbeat.
Strength training this summer.
Exactly.
Huh?
I do need to do a little more working out on a regular basis before I go. That would be helpful. But
you know the intensity yeah. of it and the effort that they put into it, too. It's always interesting to see, as I call it, the other side of the world, having been to Haiti and India. It's just always interesting to travel.
It is. But, you know, the point that hit home is they're yeah. people, too, and they mm-hmm. have the same hopes and the same dreams, and they're very happy. They're very appreciative, very faith-filled people. And it was nice to be able to help someone yeah. who did appreciate it, feel like you were making a difference. And I know, you know, when you look at the countryside and the housing problem, it's overwhelming. But for those three families, we changed their lives. And when you have the dedication ceremony and you pray over the house with the family and you present them with the Bible, it's just such a moving experience mm-hmm. that's hard to explain. And there hasn't been a day that's gone by that I haven't thought about being in Nicaragua since I was there.
I'm sure.
And I don't know if that day will ever come that yeah. I won't think about it, honestly.
No, because you'll be back in a year, probably.
Exactly. So, hopefully.
Yeah, that's wonderful. It's wonderful to hear the story and appreciate your time, Jennifer.
Thank you so much, Terry.
Jennifer Sperry from Thrivent Financial with the Thrivent Builds in partnership with Habitat for Humanity.